Welcome to the July 6, 2010 MSF Frontline Reports podcast. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization. I'm Kevin Phelan. This week, MSF treats lead poisoning for the first time after gold mining brings tragic consequences in northwestern Nigeria.
There were 39 fresh graves in the village. The villagers were reporting to us that those 39 fresh graves had been made in the last 2 months, which is a lot of graves in 2 months.
In MSF's nearly 40 years of experience providing emergency treatment, teams have responded to earthquakes and floods, wars and massive disease outbreaks, but never lead poisoning. The discovery a few months ago of an area in northwestern Nigeria with high numbers of child deaths changed that. MSF's Melissa Pratt brings us this story.
Casey Hickox, an MSF nurse, went to Nigeria this spring. She was in charge of monitoring the situation around measles and meningitis. She and her teams gathered information, going from town to town, village to village, following any leads where they thought there might be an outbreak of either disease. In March, a lead came from a local nurse in a village in Zamfara state.
So the nurse just describes these parents carrying children in their arms having active seizures or convulsions. And so a couple of things cause convulsions in children. We know that a fever can cause convulsions or seizures. We know that cerebral malaria, so malaria that has affected your brain, can cause seizures. And also meningitis affects your spinal cord and can also cause seizures. And unfortunately, those two diseases are endemic to this area. So one of our first thoughts was just that. Surely it is either malaria or meningitis. And that was our first priority, to try to diagnose or to rule out those two diseases.
The MSF team soon arrived in Yargalma village, along with workers from the Ministry of Health, to begin an investigation.
There were 39 fresh graves in the village. The villagers were reporting to us that those 39 fresh graves had been made in the last 2 months, which is a lot of graves in 2 months.
On further investigation and discussion, children particularly had problems with abdominal pain, vomiting, loss of appetite.
Lauren Cooney is the emergency coordinator for MSF in Nigeria.
Their mothers reported loss of milestones. So, for example, a child that was maybe 12 months old who had previously been smiling and had the motor skills and the behavior that you would expect of a 12-month-old had then regressed. And then sadly, obviously, in the most serious cases, they died.
She quickly got involved in setting up a project in this village, but initially the team was limited in what they could do.
In these villages, there was a very small Ministry of Health dispensary. We made sure that there was enough staff there to have 24-hour care, including drugs to at least treat symptomatically what we were seeing. So all of the children were being treated anyway for malaria and meningitis, and there was symptomatic treatment for convulsions. It had some impact for some of the children, but for a lot of the children, it sadly didn't have a lot of impact.
That was one of the most difficult times. I've worked for MSF for a little over 3 years, and it was a unique experience, knowing that something was wrong and not knowing exactly what it was. And so basically, after the children not improving and continuing to ask more questions and to get histories from people in the village, we realized that it had to be something else, and the most likely cause was the gold mining that was occurring literally within the village, within the homes.
Blood and urine samples were sent to a laboratory in Nigeria, but also to a laboratory in Germany, obviously in agreement with the Ministry of Health. And then when the results came back, we gave an official report to the Ministry of Health and strongly recommended that they immediately ask for further assistance from other agencies with expertise in lead poisoning.
The poisoning was a consequence of extracting gold from lead-containing ore. The processing of the ore involves crushing, and that creates dust with large amounts of lead. That dust contaminates the soil. The extraction process also involves drying, which was taking place inside the villagers' huts, probably for security reasons. This exposure led to extremely high levels of lead poisoning, especially in the children. It took about 1 month from the start of the investigation to send out the samples and get back definitive results. For MSF staff, this was an excruciating time when all they could do was treat symptoms, interview family and community leaders to learn as much as they could, and try to prevent more illness and death.
But we, as an organization, met with the emirs of the local government area in Nigeria, and the emirs are the religious leaders of this area, and therefore, usually, they are the ones that can make the biggest impact as far as helping you liaise with the local community and the village head and make change in communities. And I was sitting in front of him in a room full of men. I was the only woman, and just kind of trying to explain to him what we were seeing and that we couldn't give him a 100% statement that it was because of the gold mining, but we really thought it probably was. And the sooner we did something about moving the gold mining out of the community, not telling them to stop mining, of course, that's not what we do, but at least to get it out of the village itself. And the emir was just really cooperative.
In June, MSF teams working with the Ministry of Health were finally able to begin treating the most vulnerable patients for lead poisoning in two villages. The Centers for Disease Control continued to screen for new cases. And meanwhile, two other organizations, along with government authorities, addressed the cleanup and the prevention of more contamination.
We now have, at the moment, 100 children, mostly under 5, and approximately 30 breastfeeding mothers who are receiving treatment. But the process is quite long-term. The initial course of treatment is 28 days. That's being done as inpatients because, as I said, for safety and effectiveness, the children had to be taken from the village that was still contaminated. So a percentage of those children may require at least a second round of treatment, potentially even 2 or 3 or 4 rounds of treatment, not like treating someone for 3 or 4 days for malaria and then that's the end of it.
163 children are thought to have died from lead poisoning in these two small villages, only one of them that we know of since MSF began treatment. None of the patients have yet completed their first round of treatment, so it's hard to know how everyone will respond.
And with just a week or two of treatment, some children improved. So children who had muscle weakness, which is also another symptom of the lead poisoning from that neurological problems, that improved. One little girl is walking a bit again. Another slightly older baby who hadn't been talking for a couple of weeks to his mum started talking again. But there's some of the children who we haven't seen that degree of improvement in terms of those type of signs. And for sure, there is, I think, a significant risk that some of the children will have permanent developmental delays.
5 additional villages, approximately 10,000 people, have also been confirmed for contamination, but they have not received help. The rainy season has begun, and if the top layers of soil that are contaminated with lead turn into mud, it will be very difficult to remove.
Those villages need to urgently also have a plan and a remediation happening for them. So it's really, apart from the fact that children and adults are continuing to be contaminated and risk permanent damage and even death by being in those villages, there's also this added pressure of the time frame, the wet season coming and the urgent need to get those villages clean.
Casey's assignment ended before the final test results arrived. She had to go back home with very mixed emotions. It was hard to leave without a resolution. This wasn't like other MSF responses where the team knows exactly what to do, how to treat cholera or malaria quickly and on the spot.
This is not even something that Doctors Without Borders normally does. We respond to difficult crisis situations, of course, but heavy metal poisoning is not a typical intervention that you would think of MSF doing, but because there was a need and because there was no one else to speak out for these people, then MSF has stayed.
For more information on this story and to learn more about MSF or Doctors Without Borders, please visit msf.org to find the MSF website in your home country. MSF is an independent medical humanitarian aid organization that delivers emergency assistance to people affected by wars, epidemics, and natural or man-made disasters in more than 60 countries around the world.